Hi, my name is Libby Mojica. This is my son, Nathan. I'm a wildlife biologist and an animist, which means I balance being a scientist with a belief that everything on our planet has a spirit. I also believe in the interconnectedness of these spirits in the web of life, whether at the molecular, the physical, or the metaphysical level. We are all one connected being. We are the ferruginous hawk, the cutthroat trout, the bison, the coal and the oil being extracted from the ground, and the prairie meadow at sunrise. When I see these things, I see the divine. When I look out at your faces, you reflect back to me the same connection to the divinity that I see in the natural world. Now, Nathan has been asking me recently where and when he can see gods and goddesses, spirits. As an adult with an earth-based spiritual practice, I have my own sense of familiarity with how to see the divinity in all these things. But now as a parent, I'm challenged with how to share this knowledge with my son and also to do it in a way that doesn't make him an outcast at school. And one of the questions that he asked me last week is, how does Jesus lay Easter eggs? So as a parent, I've been very appreciative about the religious education classes here at Foothills that reinforce and expand upon the teachings that I give Nathan at home. One of the reasons I became a member at Foothills is that one of the core theological principles of Unitarian Universalism is that all life is connected and interdependent, that the ground that we walk on is holy, that the air that we breathe is holy, that as a community we affirm that all life on this planet has an inherent worth and dignity, not just for humans. Celebrating Earth Day is a reaffirmation for us as Unitarian Universalists to find and care for our holy planet. As science teaches us, each of our actions has a reaction, whether in service projects, prayer, meditation, or in climate justice advocacy work. We light this chalice today to honor the Earth and all of our actions to protect her.
So close your eyes for a moment and imagine that you're in the great Amazon rainforest. One day, a man walked into the rainforest carrying an axe. Moments before, the forest had been alive with the sounds of squawking birds and howling monkeys. Now all was quiet as the creature watched the man and wondered why he had come. The man stopped at the great kapok tree. He took the axe he carried and struck the tree at the trunk. Whack! Whack! The sound of the blows echoed through the forest. The man wiped off the sweat that ran down his face and neck. Chop! Whack! Chop! Soon the man grew tired. He sat down to rest at the foot of the great kapok tree. And before he knew it, the heat and the hum of the forest had lulled him to sleep. A boa constrictor lived in the great kapok tree. He slithered down its trunk to where the man was sleeping. He looked at the gash the axe had made in the tree. He slid very close to the man, and he hissed in his ear.
Señor, this tree is a tree of miracles. It is my home, where generations of my ancestors have lived. Do not chop it down.
A bee buzzed in the sleeping man's ear.
Señor, my hive is in the kapok tree, and I fly from tree to tree and flower to flower, collecting pollen. In this way, I pollinate the trees and flowers throughout the rainforest. You see, all living things depend on one another.
A monkey scampered down from the canopy of the kapok tree. She chattered to the sleeping man.
Señor! We have seen the ways of man. You chop down one tree, then come back for another. The roots of these trees will wither and die, and there will be nothing left to hold the earth in place. When the heavy rains come, the soil will be washed away, and the forest will become a desert.
A toucan flew down from the rainforest canopy.
Señor, you must not cut down our tree. We have flown over the rainforest and seen what happens once you begin to chop down trees. Many people settle on the land. They set fires to clear the underbrush, and soon the forest disappears. Where once there was life and beauty, only black and smoldering ruins remain.
A bright small tree frog crawled along the edge of a leaf. In a squeaky voice, he piped in the man's ear.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Señor, a ruined rainforest means ruined lives. You will leave many of us homeless if you chop down this great kapok tree.
A jaguar had been sleeping along a branch in the middle of the trees. Because her spotted coat blended into the dappled light and shadows of the understory, no one had noticed her. Now she leapt down and padded over to the sleeping man.
Señor, the kapok tree is the home to many birds and animals. If you cut it down, where will I find my dinner?
A tree porcupine swung down from branch to branch and whispered to the man.
And señor, do you know what trees produce? Oxygen. If you cut down the forest, you will destroy that which gives us all life.
An anteater climbed down through the great kapok tree with its baby clinging to its back.
Señor, you are chopping down this tree with no thought of the future. Surely you know that what happens tomorrow depends on what you do today. You chop down this beautiful tree, but you do not think of your own children, who tomorrow must live in a world without trees.
A three-toed sloth had begun climbing down from the canopy when the men first appeared. Only now did he reach the ground. He plodded ever so slowly to the sleeping man.
Señor, how much is beauty worth? Can you live without it? If you destroy the rainforest, on what will you feast your eyes?
A child from the Yanomamo tribe who lived in the rainforest knelt over the sleeping man.
Mr. Señor, when you wake, please look upon us all with new eyes.
The man awoke with a start. Before him stood the rainforest child, and all around him staring were the creatures who depended on the great kapok tree. What wondrous and rare animals they were. The man looked around and saw the sun shimmering through the canopy. Spots of bright light glowed like jewels amidst the dark green forest. Strange and beautiful plants seemed to dangle in the air, suspended from the great tree. The man smelled the fragrant perfume of their flowers. He felt the steamy heat rising from the forest floor. But he heard no sound, for the creatures were strangely silent. The man stood, picked up his axe. He swung it back as if to strike the tree. But he stopped. He turned and looked at the animals and the child. He hesitated and dropped his axe, and he walked out of the rainforest.
So what happens next? In the story, we heard that the man dropped his axe and walked out of the rainforest. He didn't cut down the tree, which was his aim. He heard the story of the toucan, of what happens when humans cut down the trees and start to settle in the rainforest. How it slowly turns into this blackened void of life. And yet, I mean, let's give the man the benefit of the doubt for a second. What if he needed to build and fashion a new home for his family from the tree? What if they were using the wood to burn so they can cook their food, so they could nourish each other? We don't really know why he went into the forest to cut down that tree, and so I'm kind of imagining what might happen next. So let's say that the man walks out of the rainforest a changed man. Let's say he learned from the animals and the plants, and he made a vow that he would never hurt another living creature again. Walking home, he was very careful, trying not to step on any insects or trod too heavily on any of the plants. Now, his family was waiting for him, of course. They received him openly. They welcomed him to the table. They had grilled some fish and had fried up some choo-choo gourds to offer him. And he looked at the fish and imagined it swimming, shimmering in the river, and the gourd so beautifully growing in the forest, and he refused to eat either of them. He gratefully said, "No, I don't want to hurt them. I learned from the animals that I shouldn't be doing this." And so he went to bed hungry. And the next morning he woke up to go and do his work. He went down to the river, getting his pail, putting it into the water, trying to make sure he didn't get any of the insects that were playing at the top of the river, and brought it back. He refused then to go to work because he didn't want to cut down any more trees. Because he wasn't eating, because he wasn't doing anything, he became weaker and tired and confused. And one day, in the middle of the day, he fell asleep. His family was worried about him. But when he fell asleep, all of the animals of the rainforest had been watching him, and they gathered all around him. He was visited by the boa constrictor again, who hissed in his ear,
"You are a part of the web of life, part of the rainforest. Just like I eat rats and birds, you too must find a way to nourish yourself."
And the bees, they buzzed all around his head and said together,
"We take nectar from the plants and turn it into honey to feed our babies. And to thank the plants, we help spread their pollen. You too must find a way to give back for what you take."
The jaguar slinked down towards him.
"It's not always easy to find the right balance, but that is your special role, to not just take from the earth, but to find ways to enrich it in partnership with all the other plants and animals."
Awaking from the slumber, the man stretches his arms out to the sky and says, "Thank you. I'll strive to find my place. I'll strive to find a place in this web of life in which I can give back and nourish it while still meeting my own needs." And so must we all do that. Sometimes on Earth Day, we hear two stories. We hear the stories of the amazing preservation of our environment that is going on, the good news stories. And then we hear the stories of all of the destruction that is going on in our world to our planet. And sometimes it can be very difficult to find our place, how to reconcile both of those realities until we recognize that we are the environment too, that we are nature too, and that our place in the web of life is just as any other animal, to find a niche, to find a habitat, to participate in the relationships of creation that not only take what we need and only what we need, but give back to life in return. It's a difficult challenge. It's a difficult place to reconcile that place in the web of life, and yet that is our work. So I imagine this man who was going into the forest, maybe he did need to cut down the tree for his family, for his housing, for his fires. Well, maybe the lessons he learns from the animals is that his job is to plant trees as well, to add into the web of life new life as well, in accordance to what we take. May we be good partners on the journey as we try to find our place in this challenging ecosystem and to love our earth with all of our hearts. So say we all.